Good morning. What is it, Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. Almost the end of November. As someone in the comments section, which wakes up earlier than I do, seemingly, has to say, we'll be 4 weeks away from our food coma before you know it. We're already 4 weeks away from it, but we'll be in it before you know it. And we've got a busy show for you this morning. We've got lots of things to talk about, lots of people popping in and out. And somebody who's come to hang with us is, if you are on TikTok, someone you probably have already encountered. He is quite well known. He's pretty damn well there, actually. His name is Rory Petzer, and he is a man of the people. Look at this guy.
Hey.
With his viral TikToks, he's been a 2020 and 2023 Comics Choice Award winner and a producer at East Coast Radio, yes. Which is very cool. Nice to see you, and thank you for coming in.
It's so cool to be here. So your producer said to me, no, let's do a Zoom thing for like 40 minutes to an hour.
And so I was like, no. He always chooses the easiest
no.
path.
No, I'm like, James, okay, no. Yeah. No, we're not doing Zoom.
So did you fly up?
Yes.
This is incredible, you
so
see?
A few, yeah.
I appreciate that enormously. Yes. You said, say no more. Like, now you can take up the whole sofa if you want.
Beautiful.
Can we get you something to drink?
Please.
Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic, please, whatever.
This is very good.
James.
Thank you, Rory. Nice of you to come up.
Thank
nice
you. So cool to be
actually.
Here. Yes.
We've never met before. You did tell me just before we started that you were born in PE.
Yes.
And that you now work in Durban.
Yes.
So that's two terrible places that you have to be. So, I mean,
weren't you almost cancelled once for saying something about PE?
They've tried to cancel me a couple hundred times. It's hard to keep track. But I'm still here, motherfuckers, and you're not. Nice.
Cute.
Listen, it's a funny thing to... When you talk about like TikTok and the things that go viral and the things that don't, like, I still don't understand it. I don't have a TikTok. James, didn't we start an account that you guys run?
We did.
Yeah. In fact, they were telling me about this in some meeting yesterday, but I have no idea. I don't have it on my phone. Yeah. But I saw your videos because they told me you were coming in.
Yes.
And the basic premise is that you seem to me to be this really positive, happy, optimistic dude.
Yes.
You're very patriotic. You're very pro-South African. You love supporting all of our wins, whether it's on the sports field or anywhere else. Obviously, otherwise you wouldn't have got these comics awards. You're also a very funny dude. And you wear the Comrades medal.
Yes.
Now, I may have some beef with you about this. Sometimes it's silver, sometimes it's bronze, which makes me think that you actually take this thing seriously.
No, it's always the same color. It just reflects differently, maybe.
Really?
No, see, yeah, so I don't have a silver. I have the medal.
You had a silver.
No. Oh, okay. Thank you. Stop it. Stop it. No, stop it. I'll never have a silver. So I have the medal that they give
Who
the people
gets a
that
silver,
just finish.
By the way?
The people, the boring people that start, the boring people that run all the time. And
No. But how many is it? Is like. Because that would be quite a thing.
Yes, to get a silver is quite an accomplishment.
But a bronze is a participation medal.
It's basically the medal they give you when you just finish in time.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen those people who like crawl across the line.
Yes.
Some of them are 70 years old.
Yes.
They throw
no,
up.
No, you see, they're not. They just look 70 when they're finishing Comrades.
Well, they look 70
often
they're
in their 20s.
Because they run long distance, which tends to make everybody look really awful. Okay, so explain to me why you would wear that, because it's a bad association. You didn't win.
No.
So you're wearing a bronze medal. It's there are probably thousands of people who have those.
Thousands and thousands.
It would be like me wearing a medal that I got at high school. So why wear it?
So people that are married wear their wedding rings.
Yeah, but that's usually because the wife or the husband says, you better wear that thing. So we know that when other people see you, they know you're mine.
So right? The real reason for it is because initially, you know how people say, oh, vegans and vegetarians, they'll always tell you that they're vegan and vegetarian.
Oh, big time, yeah.
So then Comrades Marathon Runners will always tell you. So
that's true.
I will get it into any conversation somehow that I've run. Even, wait, one of the first things I said to you when we got to the building,
you said,
let's take the stairs. And I said, I can do that. I've run the Comrades.
Yeah.
It was within 30 seconds of meeting you.
How many thousands of people run that thing every year? And I mean, only nobody watches because you can't. I mean, no one sits there and watches from beginning to end. Even I know people. I may even have some family, distant family, who've taken part in it at some point, but nobody could be bothered to watch that stuff. So it really is just, I suppose, it's a thing that people say. Well, at least I'm trying. So good for you. So we did a long circuitous route to get to the point where it's like, good for you, which, by the way, is the thing that you say to someone when you really don't care about what they do. You're like, Good for you.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, well, exactly. Done. What are those memes with the kid that goes?
Oh, yes, yes. So, wait, the reason is because then it's in your face. I'm telling you right now all the time. Don't joke and say, I will tell you. Yes, I will tell you. And that's in your face all the time.
No, that's all right.
Yes.
There are worse things than that. I mean, you could, for example. No, there are. I mean, like.
Are they really?
Yeah, because vegans are way more irritating. At least a comrades runner, you're doing something, you know. And the people who are, they separate their trash, you know, into the recyclable stuff. And then they proudly put it right outside their house so that you can see that they're a good person.
And they post it on social media.
Of course.
Yes.
And there's so much of that going on at the moment. It's like people just trying to score very cheap points. Actually, I mean, if you've done the comrades, even if you've just done one, I suppose maybe it just comes from me being jealous that I couldn't do that. I woke up this morning. Listen, I did something very stupid yesterday. I went to gym and I did a fairly mundane exercise. And you know when you feel something going?
Oh, we're that age now.
Shit, dude. No, and I've had like this lower back thing once before, and I don't know what solved it, and I can't remember what caused it. But I remember exactly the moment yesterday that this occurred. And yeah, it's like a little tweak in your back. It's either muscular or spine related or something, but I don't want to think about it too much because I just want it to go away. And it's fine if I'm sitting, and it's fine if I'm lying down, and it's fine if I'm walking. But like there are some movements that I make now, and it's just like, oh, shit. It's not nice. So I'm more jealous than I normally would be about you running the comrades. Well done.
Should maybe check that out.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. The thumbs up.
Good for you. Yeah, what? Who do you check it out with? Because some people will say to you, you must go to a physio.
Some will say a chiropractor.
Some people say chiropractor.
Chiropractor will.
Exactly. So I'm willing to do anything. And then obviously some people will say to you, no, don't mess around. Go straight for like x-rays and check what's going on there.
Neurosurgeon.
Yeah. So I don't know which one to do first, but I'm like, feel a bit cranky and I've moved like a dinosaur.
Oh, you need to take strong, what do you call those things?
Anti-inflammatories?
Yes, anti-inflammatories.
Jesus.
I broke a rib once.
Ow.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about that.
No, you can't. But I went to spare though. That's a really bad joke because they have spare ribs. So no, I broke it. It was a really bad joke.
All right. Yeah.
You weren't paying to be here, so I'm so sorry.
It's very East Coast radio joke.
But I broke a rib telling a joke on stage.
All right.
And then I had to go to the doctor and he took an x-ray. He's like, yes, you've broken a rib. And they gave me these really strong painkillers, which were fantastic. It was during the time of load shedding and all that.
Yeah.
I forgot we had load shedding. I forgot we're losing.
Right.
We forgot anything was happening. I was like, this is fantastic. Give me more of these painkillers. But they're finished. I would give you some. But they're finished.
Damn, I'll take some of those. Those sound great.
They're fantastic.
So if there's if there's a doctor listening, try to figure out what the best painkillers will be. I'll take all of them. All of them. Okay, so tell us how you got into making these TikTok videos and what it is that you think, you know, people respond to. Because it's always curious to me, like what people are consuming, what sort of stuff they want. What makes them happy? Because really, I think we've got past the point where everybody's just watching what everyone does because it's trending or whatever. Yeah. Most people are quite picky about what they watch. It's like a diet.
Yes.
You wouldn't eat sweets all day.
Yes.
So you wouldn't necessarily want to go on and watch like very bad news all day because it will depress you.
Yes.
It'll make you miserable.
So I think, so where it started was, I think for me, it started in 2020 during the lockdown. I had a series called Meetings in a Time of Corona. I had four characters and I had wigs and everything. Before this thing started, I went to the crazy store and I bought wigs. I don't know what I was going to do with them. I was like, we're going to be locked down now. I'm buying different wigs. I don't know what I'm going to do with these wigs. Had them at home. Then we had our first Teams meeting at work. The first Teams meeting ever.
Yeah.
Everyone was muted and this one couldn't hear and this one couldn't see. And this one, it was chaos.
This one had
a
camera from way below.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, this is the content. This is the wigs. So I had a character, Brett, Melody, Robert, and Susan. There were four people that met every day. And it was meetings in a time of Corona. And those started going really viral. Everyone loved them. To the point that when I went out, people would say, where's Susan? Why isn't Susan here? Where's Melody? Where's Brett? I'm like, they don't exist. It's just me. There's different characters. And then I was like, wait, this is working. This is making people feel happy. They're stuck at home during lockdown. This is something they can relate to because they've seen these things happen every day in their meetings. Like the woman's muted. The woman's wearing the wrong thing. She's off camera, all those little quirks. and I was adding in current affairs into those meetings. It was like three or four minutes, quick meetings. And then that sort of went viral. And I was like, okay, then Corona ended. Then we started winning all the sports. I was like, this is it. Yeah. This is fantastic to see us winning. And I think it started during 2019. Was it 2019? No. Rugby World Cup.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we've had a pretty good run.
Yes.
Like we don't take, you know what South Africans are like? They're more than happy to complain.
Yes.
Right. So when we're not doing well, everybody's go, oh, you know, the Proteas really, you know, they're so shit.
The Proteas.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're still shit, but that's besides the point. Yeah. But the fact is, we've actually done damn well. I mean, we did very well at the Olympics this year. Obviously, our rugby record is almost untarnished and unblemished at this point. And I'm saying that as someone who's not a sports fan. I don't watch any of this stuff. I don't derive any joy from it.
Yeah.
I understand, though, that it makes people's lives better. It makes them feel happy. Mm. And who doesn't like winning?
Yeah.
Right?
So when we started winning, well, actually, no, before we started winning, I started during the 2023 Rugby World Cup.
Okay.
I started making rules for everyone. Okay, we're playing England this week.
Right.
So the rules are, it's Saturday, you cannot watch any English Premiership games. You can't watch England games first. You can't do this, you can't do that. You must do this. And I had all these rules for the games. And people started enjoying it. And they started doing these things. Like, they didn't watch Premiership. They would, I'll say, you can't drink all day. Only start drinking at 9 o'clock at night, because you can't be too pissed to watch the rugby. You're going to pass out. Start drinking then. And then people start tweeting me. Can we drink today?
You do know your South African customers.
Yes.
That happens, right?
Yes.
People get hammered the night before.
All the day.
I think I'll miss the rugby.
No, I'll pass out. I don't see anything. And that started growing. And then I was like, you know what? We're winning. And I just started a whole thing. Then I started buying all the jerseys. So, like, this is fantastic, because – well, as you said, we do love winning. It's just flipping, like, and then the rugby, just win. And then AFCON came. AFCON, crazy.
Okay, I got to tell you, like, I
you don't know. Okay, so Rodwan Williams, all those saves, got through all the way to the semi-final of AFCON. And it was like most.
Speak Japanese to me on this.
So I'll tell you. So
go on.
It was lovely for online content, but it's also, I said this on a stage last week, it's very difficult in South Africa at the moment. It's more difficult to be a comedian on stage because everything's working. Understand? Touch wood. So there's no.
There's less to complain about.
Yes, you can't joke. So I used to have this joke, which I used to tell, and I regret it so much, but it used to be applicable. So back in the day, people, don't cancel me. Back in the day, I would say, when Bafana Bafana goes to a tournament like AFCON, and their family leaves them at the airport, they will just wait at the airport. They won't leave.
Correct.
They'll come back like 4 hours later when.
Right, exactly.
But now that doesn't apply. It's beautiful. So those jokes are all gone. Load shedding jokes are gone. It's like everything's fantastically beautiful and delicious in South Africa. So it's very difficult to make jokes about, because also nice, because it's nice being self-deprecating. We do that so well as South Africans as well. When things go really badly, we're like, let's laugh at ourselves. And it sort of gets us through. But now, touch wood, everything seems to be working. It's nice.
We're happy with that.
It's beautiful.
I know that it means you have less comedy material. But frankly, I would prefer things to be working just a little bit. You know, our standard is so low. The barrier to entry is so low on this that, you know, if you drive to work and there are only 10 potholes, you're like, these guys are really doing a good job, huh? This government's amazing. Shit, they're working hard, you know? I really think they deserve a Christmas break, yeah? Let's all send them some extra tax money. Jeez, you guys are fantastic. Meanwhile, I mean.
I was surprised driving in here that all the robots worked.
Because
the last time I was in Joburg, none of them did. And I was wondering, where do you guys buy phone chargers? Because no one's stopping at the robots. Like nothing. All working.
What's it like in Durban at the moment? Because you have had, like, KZN has had the most terrible couple.
Oh, we've been through so much.
The riots, the floods, the lootings.
Yes.
Looting. I mean, it's been disaster upon disaster upon disaster.
At one stage, you couldn't swim in the sea. Now everything seems to be fine.
And the sea's fine. You can swim. No turds.
But look, this is a story I'll tell. This is a story I tell.
It's
a really cuck joke, can I tell you?
Yeah.
So I always say the higher the E. coli level in the ocean, the safer it is to swim. Because if you get stuck out in the deep and you get tired, you just grab a stool. So bad.
Oh my God. Leanne says there's no place like South Africa and South Africans.
Yes.
Like my sister says, being bored in South Africa is a choice.
Yes. No, I love that.
I like that too.
Oh, that's awesome. Being bored in South Africa is a choice. That's a quote. That's a beautiful quote. I love it.
And this is interesting. V Rose says, can we talk about the catastrophe of all the kids begging at the robots? You know, there's a thing that happens. I don't know if you guys get this as much in Durban, but here in Joburg, where like a mom, I don't even know if it's the mom or the child. Sometimes they just rent a kid from someone else. They use the kid as like a prop for begging. And I'm always disturbed at how many people are easily manipulated into giving that person money, which essentially just means that that kid is going to be kept at the robot for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Don't, a tough one. Don't you think, I mean, I know people want to be seen to be good for all the reasons that we were talking earlier about, like easy virtue points, you know, put out your recyclables, tell people you CrossFit, all that kind of thing. The reality is, like, surely a small amount of thought, foresight, the ability to predict an outcome of a situation will make anyone who sees a woman with a child or a robot hesitant to give her money. But, you know, some people, I don't know if it's motivated by compassion or they're just extremely stupid. But both result in exactly the wrong thing, is the kid and the mom spending more time at the robot because you reward them for that. So we've got to stop doing this. That's the only way to, you've got to just wait it out, everybody. Just don't open your window. Don't be nice. I know it sounds counterintuitive. I'm not, maybe not for me. I'm not a nice person. But if you are one of those nice people, you've got to fucking stop. Because you are hurting the children in the long run. Okay? Stop it. It's not good. So, yes, I'm glad you brought that up, Virus, but it's very depressing. Yesterday, I saw two kids at a robot selling brooms, child labor. Again, you must not support these people. Then you know what happens? Eventually, they go away. But we need everyone to join in on this. Sorry. Somebody's got to say it. Ambulance syndrome. People want to be seen doing good, like moving over for the ambulance. Do people do that? Because I've often been on the roads in Joburg where people actually, they don't move for the robot, which is insane.
No. So interestingly enough, in Durban, a lot of the time, we don't have an emergency lane because the cars use that lane. So when it's traffic backed up, then everyone's using the emergency lane. So that we will fit six rows of cars. I was in Cape Town recently over the Cape Town Marathon. Did I tell you I run marathons? Did I tell you?
You know, you might have missed.
So I was there for Cape Town Marathon. Yeah, I was on the N1 and there were cars backed up in Cape Town. And I was waiting in this queue of cars. And next to me, I could see the yellow lane. I was like, no one is using. Why is no one using this? Like, there's a whole solution right next to us.
Yeah, and so you went into it.
No, I was like, I'm waiting for someone else to do it.
Because I,
like,
think in Cape Town, you'd probably be arrested.
Yes, thrown in jail for the rest of your life.
It's a DA municipality, so everything that you get, all the laws are enforced. If you do this wrong, then there's going to be some
consequence.
Man or woman who comes up in a uniform and says to you, you can't do that in Cape Town. I know that you think you can do it in the rest of the country. This is not the rest of the country.
But this is why everyone's late in Cape Town. It's not because it's because they're not using that lane.
Yeah,
there's space there that we can.
Sonetta says there's no business in it. They'll stop doing it and find something else. That's exactly right. So this morning I did notice that there was this dude in like a shitty car. It was like a Hyundai or something, right? No, it was. And he was like barreling down on people in the fast lane, and then when they wouldn't move quickly enough so that he could keep going at, I mean, like really going for and close up behind people. And I was just watching him for a couple of Ks doing this. Eventually, he took one of the off ramps. But if he couldn't get you to, if he couldn't intimidate you out of the fast lane, then he would just skip across a lane or two sometimes and go around those people and then go in front of you.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
What could you in your Hyundai possibly be doing that's so important? You're not the fucking Pope. Wait, where are you headed that's so important? What is the call center going to not manage this morning without you when you're selling insurance products to people who don't want them? Is that where you're rushing to this morning? And this guy was like, no, got to get there fast. Got to be there before everyone else. And this is like at 5 a.m.
Wait, can I tell you what's the best?
Calm down.
The best is when they come up behind you and aggressive, and you can't go anywhere because there's a queue of cars. Mm-hmm. Then they go around you. Then they overtake. Then they get stuck behind a truck over there. And then you pass them eventually. Like, yeah, and exactly. I always wave. I'm like,
yeah.
Idiots, like, what are you doing?
You wave. I use this hand signal. I'm like, you wanker. The wank like, hand signals.
Wave. Oh, just we're all going to get there. Just pick the lane and stay in that lane. Like, you'll be fine.
And Patrick's right. That's why we cannot have the DA as a 50% national government. Yeah, spot on. Absolutely fucking right. I've never agreed with anything more in my life. Maybe he was driving to go and have sex, says Bitcoin Boot. Well, it's possible.
Bitcoin Boot's busy, eh?
Yeah. He's in the comments like constantly. So it's interesting. You you obviously, with posting this stuff, do you read the comments? Do you read what people have to say when you post a video?
Not often. I go back a day or two later, and then I have this policy. So guard my mental health. So if someone says anything bad, like, this is not funny, it's stupid, I'll just block you because we're not the same. I don't want to interact with you again. That's fine. You cannot find it funny. That's fine. I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me know. But now I'm going to block you. So you're gone.
And you can do that on TikTok. You block people.
I block people.
And then they just, they can't find you.
They're gone. So I'm actually more active on Instagram and
Twitter. That's nice. That's good.
TikTok. You just block them and they go. Okay. I'll never see you again. You'll never see them again. It's just better for me.
No, you'll dude, see, I agree with you.
You've been there. You've seen that. Yeah, flip. And also, the thing is.
The tattoo?
Oh. So well, this is a story.
Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you. That's the cult
yellow.
Place,
so. Yes.
Yeah.
So. There's a funny story to this. So wait. Oh, yes. We had a staff party at East Coast Radio 2 years ago, and the theme was you have to wear yellow. So I went there wearing my black, as I always wear black. And like, Roy, you're not wearing yellow. I'm like, I am wearing yellow. You've got to find it on me. They're like, looking at my underwear and my socks. I'm like, no, man, it's on my fucking arm. Look, it's on my arm. I'm that person.
Okay.
I'm so that person. I'm so
it's annoying. A lot of hard work.
Yeah.
But let's just go back to this thing about the mental health. I think that's a really good point that you make. It's like people allow themselves to be abused.
Mm.
Now, I mean, we can all say if we're not involved, you know, there's a woman and there's this guy and he gets home every night and he drinks and then he hits her and she stays there. And every morning she wakes up and she kind of gets on with her day. And then she hopes in the afternoon he will suddenly come home a reformed man. And sometimes he does and he apologizes, but then the next day he hits her again. And we all go, well, why doesn't she just leave him? But we all do this on social media. Mm. We all allow ourselves to be abused.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed with you that you block people.
I just block. If you say anything bad, if you don't, the thing is, it's fine. You cannot find me funny. Like, humor is objective. Like, you might not find this funny. That's great. Then just go. I didn't ask you to look at it. It came up on your timeline. You follow me. I don't follow you.
Right.
So you following me.
Right.
I don't know who you are. So just, then I just like, I don't argue. I just block.
But do you think that this is because people have this bizarre idea that on social media, they're suddenly important when they're not? It's like that guy on the highway this morning.
Yes.
It's like he really feels that he needs to get somewhere faster than everyone else because he's terribly important. And it's almost as if they start to really live that way. They start to believe, okay, let me log on to whatever, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is that you're doing today. And today I'm going to let everyone know what I think. And then they go on there and then they also want you to pay attention to them more than you would someone that you'd pass in traffic.
Yes.
But you don't know their name. Mm. You don't know anything about them. They might come up in your timeline for some reason because the algorithm feeds them up there. But you don't have to interact and you don't have to be forced to spend time with these people.
Yes.
That's very good.
Yes. I think and also,
a lot of people can take a leaf out of your book.
The funny thing is how our brain works also. You'll see 105 comments, all great. You'll see one bad one and it'll like ruin the next hour of your life. Like, why did that person say that? Just block and forget. Don't even give it, don't entertain it. Just disappear.
So what do you do in comedy? Because that would also be a temptation in an audience of 200 people. There'll be one who's sitting there going,
oh, you don't focus on that person at all. You don't look at that person.
You've got to be careful. Right?
You're always taught, like, you train yourself where to look. You look at the person that's always smiling and like nodding at you. The person that's doing this or on their phone, don't focus there because it'll kill your vibe. You'll think, this is ridiculous. I'm dying. I'm fading. I'm not being funny. No, look at the people that are laughing. Don't look at the same thing. It's basically comments in real life. Don't look at the bad ones. Look at the ones that are laughing and smiling at you and nodding. Those are the ones that are enjoying the show and they'll keep you going. If you focus on that one, because often you can, it's like a moth looking at the lights or moth flying into a candle. Then focus on this bad person. I'm going to make this person laugh and you'll lose track and you'll forget your set and you'll go crazy. You can almost see when a comedian, if you're looking for it, starts getting that anxiety, and you can see it, like the brain starts going tick, 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 tick. Should I go there? Should I go there? Like, what should I tell next? Don't. Stick to your set. Focus on that person who's laughing at you. Same as in the comments. Go to that person that likes you. You've got your audience. Focus on them. Don't focus on the person that's driving. What is it? What car was it?
I don't know. Hyundai.
Yes. Don't focus on that person. Like, in the recycled yogurt cup. Just.
Okay. So the guys are complaining in the comment section about the sound. What's the problem here? What's going on, guys? So in other words, we just look like we're speaking very slowly.
Correct. This looks like a Bollywood movie.
It's like a dubbed movie, yes. Yeah,
pretty much. But we are waking up, they can't hear you.
Hello, how are you?
Killed my brother.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to kill you now.
Yes, good. Literally.
Well, let's see how that goes. All right. Well, while they're trying to sort that out, you know, another fucking day, another technical issue. A woman was born with two vaginas and now shares her weirdest fan requests. Why? Because she's on OnlyFans. Of course, if you have two vaginas, that's where you must go, OnlyFans. So apparently this woman has something called uterus didelphus. That's when you have one set of ovaries, but she has two vaginas. And she accepts money on OnlyFans from people to do weird requests. And I don't believe this for a second, that the weirdest request she's got is for bathwater. I don't believe it. There are lots of people who have only one vagina who've already sold bathwater. That's an old story. If you have two vaginas, selling bathwater is not the most interesting.
People buy
story.
Bathwater.
Talking shit.
People buy bathwater.
Yeah. Oh, sick. Disgusting people. Yeah. I mean, I can't even. I don't even like the idea. Oh, look, there goes Flex in front of the camera. Have we figured this thing out?
Yes.
Okay. Well, bathwater is a thing. There are a couple of famous women who've sold. It's mostly sick, twisted guys who buy the bathwater.
But once again, we've been supporting these people.
Correct.
So what?
But I mean, I'm not. in fact, I can't even tell you the last time I took a bath because I won't even be in my own bath.
Yes, water. That's so true.
Right? It's a human soup. Yeah. And people who have jacuzzis, same thing. Oh, yeah, it's not a good thing. So this woman's name is Annie Charlotte. So I suppose one of the vaginas is Annie, the other one's Charlotte. Anyway, she's selling the bathwater, and a guy was like, I have to have two vagina bathwater. That's what he wanted. That's his thing, this fan of hers that wanted the bathwater. I don't believe for a second that if you met someone with two vaginas, your go-to thing, if you're a pervert on OnlyFans, is, I need the bathwater. It's like, you want to see different things that the two vaginas can do. You know, I mean, I'm going to have to look it up now. You've forced me to this point.
And then
point.
It's going to be in your search history.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. And someone's going to eventually find this computer in 100 years' time. They're going to be like, this guy was a sicko. He's like looking up two vaginas the whole time.
Do you know what we need?
Maybe I discover that's the thing that that really gets me going. I'm terrified that I find out about some. Because, I mean, I think most of us, we think we're a bit like naughty, but then we find out that there are really fucked up people in the world. And then you go like, okay, so I'm actually boring. But I'm terrified that you find out something online. You find a video or something and you're like, wow, that's the thing that turns me on. And it's just weird. It's like people using, I don't know, plastic straws or, you know.
Putting mustard on chips.
Yeah, the food video, the mukbang. You know, that thing, yeah, that's where the people use the mouth noises the whole time in their recordings. It would be very, very disturbing to me if those were the turn-ons that got me going. Very, very bizarre. I hope she finds a guy with two penises, says Raven. Perfect love story. Good point. Okay, yeah.
The one thing, actually, you know the Lasting Dignity Plan? Who's the guy that sells the Lasting Dignity Plan? Him, yes, the famous guy. So one thing that
Desmond Dube?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one thing the Lasting Dignity Plan doesn't do, which they need to
with
do.
With clientele.
Yes. For your dignity, someone must go in and delete your browsing history.
That's such a good point.
There must be a plan in there.
Do you have something in your will for that?
So you need someone, the Lasting Dignity Plan will do this and this, and we'll come in privately and delete your browsing history.
That's such a good point. It's got to be part of the Lasting Dignity Plan. Yes. I like that a lot.
Yes.
All right. So then they go in, but you got to give them all your passwords.
Oh, yeah.
You see, and while you're alive, you don't want to do that. I think they must also go in and put a notice on, because this is terrible, and it's only happened to me once, but once is enough. You know when you use social media to wish someone a happy birthday or whatever? I'm talking about people you know, not strangers.
Yes.
But maybe you don't know them so well. Maybe you haven't seen them in, I don't know, a couple of months. Then you find out after you've sent them a happy birthday that they're dead. Okay, so somebody has to go in, just like the social media, and you're right. I like the idea that this is called the Lasting Dignity Plan. I wonder if we can, if clientele won't do that, or one of these insurance companies, we need to steal that from them. And you actually have like a team of people who will go in and sort out all your stuff. And let's say, for example, that your passwords only unlock in the event of your death. Something triggers it. Yes. Like, for example, if you haven't logged in, I don't know, a month.
Yes.
Let's say for, you know, then it goes in and it can go to that person's profile page and just say, this person died on X day. No emotion. It doesn't have to be a sad thing. It doesn't have to be from a family member pouring out their heart about how much you meant, and people will comment under that. You don't want that. Just like a Dennis died on October the 12th. It is now November the 27th, and we thought we'd just let you know. Something
Dennis,
like that.
Dennis dead.
Yeah, Dennis, whatever his date of birth was, date of birth.
I often see that on Facebook especially. Happy birthday, Brian. Hope you're having a lovely day. Say hi to the kids. Brian died in like 1994.
Yeah, not like, good, huh? Like, and then you know also who's, you know, it's not that person posting if anything comes up after that.
Yes.
Because you could go on, and I often wonder what happens to people who base their lives around social media following. You know, there are people like this, like these big YouTubers and so on. What do they do if someone grabs their account after they're dead and starts using it for nefarious purposes?
Oh, yes.
Like imagine you and I start milking it for money or you start lining up terrible brands or you do, you start hitting on like some of your followers or whatever. How do we deal with that? There's got to be,
a way.
There's got to be a 1, 2, 3 step solution to what happens when your social media goes awry and you're dead.
See, there we go. We're changing the world, yeah.
Because that's lasting. It's your reputation forevermore. Because people are going to look you up and it's going to go to the most recent thing.
Yes.
And you're not even there.
Yes.
Okay.
We're changing the world.
We've got a business idea here, right?
Nice. I like it.
I like this. Tubbo says he'd marry that woman with the two vaginas. All right, Tubbo, we'll just leave that to you.
Thank you.
Very good. Percy says, I had an idea for a digital will called Death Wish with preloaded requests and apps. Okay, well then get it going, Percy. We don't have to wait. If you've already got this idea, make it happen. There's a story about a woman who house sat for her mom. She found a box under the bed contained a dildo. She used it. Turns out it was her mom's, who used to clone a willy to make a dildo from her father. Now that is disturbing beyond belief, Tracy.
Rory has left the group.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing that, well, I mean, she shouldn't go digging around under her mom's bed. You know, it's like these people are in a relationship, and then while the guy is in the shower, the girlfriend looks at his phone. You're asking for a world of trouble. And sure, you guys should have discussed this. But if that is your decision, you're going to go into the phone, be prepared for terrible things. Pandora's box to be unleashed. The death certificate triggers the whole thing. That's very good. Means you have to give your password to a third party, which is a huge risk. But let's say it only comes up once you can prove that the person is.
Yes. Kind
of like unlocks on a digital
There's
ID.
There's got to be a way.
Or, yeah.
We've been to the moon. We can fix this.
Use, what do they call it? The way that Bitcoin and all the rest of it works.
Yes.
You've got this digital kind of security.
Ask Bitcoin, but he'll know.
Yeah, he'll know. Is there much news about Brayton Breitenbach's death? I don't know. Trust Cheryl de Villiers with my passwords. Huh, no fat chance. Even I know who watched Isidingo. Okay, so I don't know what that is because I never watched Isidingo. So I'm sorry. I'm out of that one, slippery pickle. Baba says, why does this channel get so little views on YouTube? Are most listeners downloading audio only on Apple? Well, I've got good news for you on that front because for many people, that's been an issue. And we've got some very, very good news that our app is coming very, very soon, which will make things a lot easier if you want to listen. It'll be one of those apps that carries on running in the background. You can watch on there live too. It's going to make a massive difference. So that's coming up very, very soon.
Can I come back when the app's up?
End of this week. Yeah, would that?
Yes.
You want to come back when the app is up?
Yes.
So then you want to go now? You want to call it quits for now?
No.
Oh, listen, very exciting. So we've got Cindy popping in from Turvest in a short while. And we have Kurt Darren popping in in a while. That is going to be amazing. He's got a new song out, which is breaking the internet. The guy, he really does. I don't know. He's just got a way of making this happen. And the rest of us must shut up and learn. That's the way it's going to go. I prefer sharing my wisdom with all of you in the comments than letting someone. Well, okay. So that's Congo Chris. But listen. When you die, you have to have a plan for like what happens to your social media. And nobody thinks about this.
Yes. You know what someone thinks about? Let's say you're a YouTube creator influencer with a million followers. What happens to you, to everything about you if that disappears? Someone hacks in and takes it, your million followers.
Like then, they delete your whole account.
Because that's literally, yeah, that's your whole job and your whole life. Imagine. And then, because it exists just there, and it's not, you can't, it's not like a tangent.
Yeah, it's not a real thing. You can't download it and reload it later.
Yeah, if someone just.
Well, I mean, doesn't that show you how powerful these social media companies are? Right. True. And companies like Google, like Alphabet, which owns YouTube and Google. I mean, if they decide they don't like you or they go after you for something, and if they were very mean, which they've shown to be politically, they've been shown to be politically biased, for example, and there are people in America who are trying to break up these companies. They say they are too powerful. They can literally ruin someone overnight. And you think about how the media and advertising world has become so dependent on those things that if any of those companies decided suddenly overnight to just switch people off, it would be imagine the bedlam that would ensue.
People would feel like they don't exist.
People would be screaming. Yeah. They'd be losing their minds. It would be horrific. And here's some great news. I know you like good news.
Yes.
South Africa's experienced its longest uninterrupted power supply in 5 years with load shedding suspended for 240 consecutive days since March 2024. Isn't that great?
So I was telling you earlier, that's good news and bad news. The bad news is, for me personally, comedy. It's even better, even worse. I started selling load shedding t-shirts. It said 100% South African on the front. I should have bought one. And it had the load shedding stages on it and we sell those. They were selling like hotcakes, sold thousands of them. And then I ordered another box of like 1,000 because they were selling so well. And then load shedding disappeared. Now I'm sitting with a box of 1,000 load shedding shirts at home that like I'm now in debt because I've spent more money than I've. Like 2 days after I bought that box and loaded in the spin, I was like, it'll come back.
Nah. Shame, that's bad. That's really bad.
So now I'm hoping I can sell them to a museum or
something. I wonder if this has been a very bad time for people who install solar and other kinds of, you know, power alternatives, batteries, and so on. Because obviously, 2 years ago, all of us were like, oh, we've got to, no matter what, we'll take out loans, we'll sell the cat, we'll mortgage the children, whatever we have to do to get solar. And now those same people are going, shit, I wasted that money. I just should have waited until March 2024.
Those snooty people in the row that had the lights on, watching rugby during load shedding.
Exactly.
But now they're arguing that it's going to go up by like 46%.
I mean, Cully says don't jinx it. Right.
True.
And how about the guys who run that Eskom Supush app, which was
such dudes.
A success. Very nice people. But now what are they going to do? Percy says he'll swap you one of his I Survived COVID shirts for one of your Eskom
shirts. It's a deal. It's a deal.
There's two useless ones. The fact that we're counting the days makes me worry. Like, why are we counting? Imagine your wife telling you it's 330 days since I last cheated.
What? People are heavy.
All right. Very good. I do like this, though. Congo Chris says, Slippery Pickle says, my will is in my wallet. All my earthly possessions will belong to the being that manages to defeat and kill me. So it's like a game.
Okay, it's a phone and cooker mode.
If anybody finds Slippery Pickle, you defeat and kill him, and you get all of his stuff.
That sounds like a good game.
All right, yeah, I like that. All right, this channel is shadow banned. I never see it in my feed. I have to search for the Real Network Daily to watch. We did have a problem with that too for a while, and we've managed to sort it out. But yeah, there was a stage where that was going on. So it's been a bit of a nightmare. Trying to get that sorted. Really? So yeah, we've sort of experienced what you were talking about, where people switch you off. Batteries are taking a knock, but not so much solar, as it still leads to a savings, says Carla. Okay, good news for people who are into that. And then this is interesting. Did you ever eat Multibella porridge?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay, so apparently Bacomo.
Yes.
The company that makes it have confirmed that they're discontinuing Multibella porridge.
No.
It's the end. Do you remember when they said they were going to do this to salt and vinegar chips and people lost their
minds? Yes. Multibella.
What was the other thing they were going to remove? There's one of the chocolates, I think.
Didn't they remove chocolate log?
Which was it?
Chocolate log, didn't that disappear?
Peppermint crisp.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And people went ballistic.
Yes, because aunties put it on top of cakes.
Right.
They grate it on top of cakes.
Aunties put it on top of cakes.
It's like, I've got no chocolate on top of a cake.
Aunties, so they're going to discontinue Multibella porridge. marking the end of an era for a product that has been part of the family breakfast routine for over 50 years. Made from malted sorghum, malted bell has been a popular choice for generations, especially on cold mornings. So sorry.
Yes, I wonder
no
why.
No more.
So no one's buying it then, clearly. Or...
I don't know. I mean, there must be a commercial reason that they would do this.
Yes.
But it's suddenly, like when people hear they're going to lose something.
Then, yeah.
Then they want to go out and stockpile.
Because I haven't had malted bell in 2 or 3 years. But now I'm like fish paste. Didn't fish paste disappear?
Fish paste they also took away. Yeah.
Yes.
One of them, Red Row.
Red Row, yes.
They took off.
Yeah.
And lots of people went crazy for that. There must be a reason. They must look at the numbers and go, okay, this is not working so well. People aren't buying it.
I think it's also because of the breath. Around social. I used to work at I worked at lots of restaurants back in the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't say fish paste is anyone's favorite smell. No one's going around going,
I love this.
Talk to me straight after your, I don't know,
fish your anchovy paste. Toast.
That's revolting. Okay, let's change the subject because that is revolting. So if you cross about peppermint, now we've just reminded everyone now they cross about four things. Okay, peppermint crisp, Maltabella, which one?
Chocolate salt and
vinegar chips.
Salt vinegar chips,
those are still around.
Yes.
And because we mounted a resistance for that one.
Yes, we did.
That's a very South African thing. You need to
argue.
All right, but I want to talk a little bit about travel because travel is such an important part of this time of year for so many people. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would probably be a good idea to get someone in who can give us an overview of the entire plan. And there she is, walking on set. She is Cindy Cunningham Scott. Great to see you, Cindy. How are you?
Hello, Gareth.
Nice to see you. Very, very good. The last time I saw Cindy was in Cape Town just a short while ago. But she has been in the travel business for... Is there a reason my camera isn't on? That we have to watch James doing all this shit? Sorry, Cindy.
You've
been in the business for 25 years, which is, I mean, you know travel like the back of your hand. So I thought today, rather than just talk generally about where people are going and what they're doing for Christmas and New Year, because we're all, I think it's a bit late if you're only making your plans now, right? Because accommodation is going to be very difficult to find.
Very expensive.
It's a popular time of year. But I thought you know this industry so well, and you can give us an overview of the year. A year in travel, help us to understand what that looks like. Give us some of the numbers, the statistics. You met Rory?
Yes. Hello, Rory.
Oh, very good.
Good to meet you.
So give us an overview because, of course, you are in charge of, you're the national sales manager at Tourvest Travel Services.
From a new
business
perspective.
Yeah. So you know all of this stuff inside out.
Correct. Correct. Thanks, Gareth. Yes. So we've had a phenomenal year to date for Tourvest.
Amazing.
Travel Services. And, of course, as you know, we sell Travel IT as our technology solution.
Right.
Which 90% of our customer base makes use of.
And they actually do their bookings through that.
Absolutely. So it is not a plug-in and play. It's a bespoke, customized solution that we do for our customers. We have 2.6 million registered travelers to date making use of our solution.
2.6 million.
2.6 million travelers make use of our solution at the moment. And then, of course, we've done 10 million sectors this year, which is phenomenal. It's probably a record for us yet to date.
Okay, but just explain, because people who are not in the business won't know what a sector is. That's a flight from here to here.
It's a single. So you would have a one-way flight, for example, would be one sector. A return would be two sectors.
Right.
You would have a hotel and an accommodation, which would also classify as a sector.
Very good. Okay. Yes. So, I mean, in 2024, 2.6 million, how many people are actually traveling in South Africa? That must be most of them.
It's a huge amount of travelers for us. I mean, 63% of that is domestic. The remainder is international, so predominantly still domestic out of South Africa, which is huge. It's obviously reached pre-COVID levels as well, though I think we've exceeded that already.
That's a good point because, again, you know, if we look at the terrible state of travel in that year and how nervous everybody was because everything was shut down, right?
Yes.
And people were saying, we'll never get back to those 2019 numbers. But we've surpassed
it. It's recovering, for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all good. And then, of course, I mean, 60% of our flights are flights. 60% is flights. 33% is consisting of accommodation. Just under 10% is other things like car hire, transfers, things like that as well. On the solution, so we cater for all of that, you know, for our corporates.
And obviously, it's an indication of the health of the economy, both locally and internationally,
yes.
Because travel, even business travel, isn't something that people are willing to spend money on unless they're making money. So obviously for a lot of people, you know, the idea that you hop on a plane, this is a large expense for businesses. It's a big expense for people who have children, families, that kind of thing. It's not cheap.
No.
So this is a very good sign. It shows that things are starting to come together again.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like it. So give us some other ideas. Give us some things that, like, it's always useful to have someone when they're in your business and they've been in it for a while, to give us some tips, some ideas, some hacks about traveling. We always get useful ones from Achi. He tells us where to sit on a plane and that kind of thing. When it comes to those last minute things, which people might be doing now, do you go away for Christmas and New Year? What do you usually do?
So for us, I mean, I'm obviously in the corporate side of things, so it's very busy for the whole year. So we do encourage our team to take a bit of a break at the end of this year, which is what the plan is. I mean, I plan 6 months in advance before I actually book anything. So yeah,
very organized.
I would not do that. From a corporate perspective, definitely to save money, you need to obviously put a travel policy together. Things like advance purchase, you know, it's important that you book in advance. Most average corporates book 3 to 7 days in advance. And it definitely helps you to achieve your savings.
And is there a downtime for corporate travel?
So there are some trends year on year. What we do find is obviously it picks up. Our busiest times are generally around November, just before December break.
Okay.
And then, of course, March, it picks up again every year. What we do see as well is during wintertime, for some strange reason, there tends to be a bit of a dip in corporate travel year on year as well. So I don't know why that is, but maybe it's the weather. I'm not sure. But yes, definitely there are trends year on year.
That's amazing.
I think days of the week as well. I think pre-COVID winter, things used to be different. There used to be the peak periods, which was like a Monday and a Thursday and a Friday. Okay. If you had flights on those dates, it would be more expensive to travel on those dates. You'll find there's a huge following of commuters that commute between Joburg and the coasts as well for business. So Monday, Thursday, Fridays would obviously be their busiest days, which means the flights obviously mark up because of base to demand. But those are also changing. So those trends are also changing year on year. I think post-COVID it has. And I think it's got to do with a lot of Teams meetings, virtual meetings. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not necessarily traveling up for face-to-faces anymore. So it's definitely changed their travel pattern year on year.
And when companies book, you know, for a year's travel, do they do that in advance? Do they say to you, for example, we want to have X number of economy flights, X number of business class flights that are available to us for the year so that we can then allocate them? Is it possible to do things like that?
That was something from my previous experience in an airline. We had a lot of requirements for that. It's very difficult to manage that from an airline perspective. Reason being is, you know, you can't secure upfront discounted fares on specific flights because it basically breaks apart their revenue integrity or their management of that particular flight. They know what they need to earn, so they can't really commit to saying, I'm going to give you a highly discounted fee as a corporate and give it to you on those allocated flights. Negotiated deals, definitely you can do with not just airlines, but preferred suppliers. You can negotiate your own corporate rates, which obviously we facilitate through our solution as well. So we preload all of those rate codes for corporates to make sure that they get the benefits thereof, as well as whatever we've negotiated as a travel management company.
And then you're also using a new WhatsApp AI bot, which is something that, see, this is cool because AI is, everybody's going, oh, AI. I don't know if you're using AI.
No, not much.
I was, the other day, I couldn't get to sleep. The other night, couldn't get to sleep. So I lay in bed. And this thing can do, I mean, I know that people were telling me this before, but I've only just woken up to it now. It can do anything. And I was checking it out and like trying to catch it out, trying to figure out where it's, you know, not as sharp as it might be. And it's amazing to me what AI can do. So obviously in the travel business, it's very, very useful. And people have been using bots for a long time to do this. Is this for customer service stuff? Is it for helping people find information if they're at a destination or if they're about to leave or if there's a change or if they need clarity on something or a booking has got to be moved? Or is that where it's useful?
You're on the right path, yes.
Okay.
So we kind of very, very quietly released a chatbot for Travel IT this year to some of our companies and corporates just to kind of get a feel as to how it works. So, I mean, we achieved a great uptake of about 20,000 interactions with our customers. And the satisfaction surveys come back at 92%. So exactly that. So if they're traveling anywhere in the world and they perhaps need some sort of an assistance and they don't want to talk to a consultant, they literally just prompt the menu on the WhatsApp chatbot. It gives you a solution of what you want. You can select what you want, whether it's talking to a consultant or requesting travel documents and vouchers. What we have picked up through those interactions is predominantly most of it is because they've lost their documentation or they require their vouchers for their hotel, etc. And you've got it at your fingertips because it comes on your mobile.
Let me tell you, people who lose things on, you know, when they're meant to be traveling somewhere, this must be the bane of your industry's existence.
Yeah, I mean, paper, it's paperless, you know, that's the way everybody wants to go, which is why a mobile app is so important, because you get all that documentation on
and,
your mobile.
And of course,
app.
when you use your system, then it's there already. So
absolutely.
You just have to access it.
Traveler profiles are pre-populated in the back end
as
well.
That's brilliant.
So the moment you're talking to that chatbot, it's able to identify exactly who you are and what you're asking for already. Within seconds, you've got access to your booking.
Well, it's amazing to me. I mean, these numbers that you were giving us just now are phenomenal. And I think, you know, you deserve a break after this very, very busy. So you're not going anywhere personally.
I will be after Christmas. I have a very nice trip planned.
Anywhere you want to tell us where?
Travel, yes.
Where are you going?
We're doing Singapore and Thailand with my
nice.
Girls. My child is just matriculated,
nice.
So
very
I think
cool.
She deserves it.
You going anywhere, Rory?
I haven't decided yet. It's going to be too late to book. Made me nervous now because
you managed to book for your flight
issue.
For
True,
yesterday
for
to get
yes.
here for this. Yeah.
So yeah, I will go somewhere. Probably just drive. Get in my car and just drive. I think that's. I just like to just.
We have such a beautiful country.
Yeah,
yes.
That is such a good thing
just
to
drive.
Do. I mean, obviously, if you're not in a hurry,
yes,
this is important. If you're not in a hurry and you don't have to rush anywhere, you don't have to be anywhere at any particular time.
Best.
And you can just take your time and find little bed and breakfasts or whatever, and you will.
Yes, you will.
And you can travel to all those parts of the country that everybody else just rushes through.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's the plan.
Except PE. You shouldn't waste your time there.
I'm from PE.
That is terrible. That's a terrible place.
I don't like the wind.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's lots not to like. Trust me, you're being very kind. All right, Cindy, thank you so much. Cindy Cunningham-Scott is the National Sales Manager at Tervis Travel Services and at Travel IT. And that was an interesting and useful look at some of the numbers when it comes to kind of what's happening in travel statistics. And you can go and check them out at travel.co.za. You'll find all kinds of cool things going on there. Plenty to keep you busy. As I said, Kurt Darren is going to be joining us in a short while. Because he has the song of the summer, which is called Hip Hop Spinnekop of Hop Hop Spinnekop. I can't work it out. We'll find out in a minute. And I love this guy. He's always good fun. We will check out Kurt Darren next. Don't go anywhere. Rory Petz is with us also as we make our way through this Wednesday morning. Just a couple of weeks till Christmas.
Yes.